Jared, what's your favorite club to hit?
Driver, full send.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Full Send Podcast, the inside scoop of life on the PGA Tour with our man Jared Wolf. I'm Trey Griggs, and today we are joined by a super special guest, the man himself, Jared's caddy, Tillis Gibson. Tillis, man, it's great to have you on the show. How you doing?
What's going on, Trey? It's so good to be here, buddy.
Yeah, man, good to talk to you. It's been a little while since we had a chance to connect. Last time I saw you was, it's been a while, actually. I think it was actually on the Korn Ferry Tour, but I haven't seen you out on the PGA Tour. I've only been to Houston, and unfortunately, you weren't there. I was like, what?
No.
Pretty wild.
It's so been tell a while, us man. Yeah.
Tell us what's new in Tillis' world. What's going on? You got a lot going on.
There's a lot happening in my life right now. Biggest thing is I got a little boy on the way. It's due April 22nd. Thank you so much. First child. My wife and I, we are so excited. Very, very blessed. But yeah, just super excited about this new adventure.
Life will never be the same, my friend, but it's so exciting. That's awesome.
That's what everybody's been saying. And I'm so stoked to be a dad. Yeah, man, I'm so excited.
Enjoy the sleep while you can get it. That's my biggest tip is enjoy that. What's the due date? Do you guys have a due date?
April 22nd.
April 22nd. All right, very cool. Yeah. So it's going to be here before you know it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think she's going to have the tougher time waking up early. But yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Moms definitely have it tougher. They're the real heroes among us, without a doubt. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, hey, listen, let's get into kind of what's going on. I want to start off by having you tell us the story of how you got into caddying. You've been caddying for a while. You've caddied for a couple of professionals, for Jared, for Jimmy Stanger, now back with Jared for about 3 years now. Tell us a little bit about the story of getting into caddying, you know, and just kind of how that evolved.
So I grew up playing when I was about, I'd say about 8 years old. Me and a couple buddies would go after school, elementary school, go walk 9 holes with a little pool car because it was like $10. Parents would drop us off. We'd stay out there all day long, man. 9 holes, go pick up range balls, and then we could play more. So that was like a little payoff. You pick up balls, you play some golf. So we did that. I was about 8 years old. And growing up, I'd say age 12, 13, started competing a little bit, did some junior tours, did a couple of AJGA events, didn't do too well. It was only 2 of them. Went on to play high school golf after that, played at a small Christian school. I was the only one on that team at the time to make it to state as an individual 2 years in a row. So I have that under my belt. That's about it in my golf. Didn't do too well in state. Other than that, after high school, man, my other hobby at the time, I started surfing when I was, younger than 8 years old. I grew up near the ocean and all. So I'd rather go chase waves and go play golf. So I didn't go on to play college golf or anything like that. Knew I wasn't good enough, so I found more enjoyment just searching for waves with my family.
You're one of the realest among us that play golf competitively that realize the rest of us are all in denial.
Yeah, man. It's cool. I still will hack it around here from time to time when I'm on the road for weeks at a time. Honestly, that's the last thing I want to do when I get home. But yeah, that's my golf history in a nutshell, playing history, caddy history. That's what you want to get into now. Caddying history. So I started caddying at TPC Sawgrass. This is like 2016. I started caddying out there, club caddying, doing 4 caddy and double bagging. I'm not sure if you're familiar with 4 caddy, and it's where either you get a 2-some, a 3-some, 4-some, basically you're working for every player off the cart, stuff like that. You're reading putts for every player, giving yardages for every player. So at the end of the day, you're also getting tipped by every player. So you want more forecaddy and then double bagging. That's where you made your money doing that. So I started doing that for a few years. My wife and Kelsey actually met at a small group Bible study class back in the day. And they just got to talking and everything, saying, hey, my husband's a pro golfer. My husband's a caddy. They should meet such and such. And I believe it was a cookout. We had dinner and he asked me, this was when he was on Latin tour. He asked me, hey man, would you like to come work for me next year? At the time it was theweb.com. And I was like, heck yeah, it was my dream to go caddy on tour and everything like that. It's like, heck yeah, man. So I actually started with Jared in Miami it was the Shell Open PGA Latino American Championship. Started with him down there. Don't believe we played too well, but I was all right. After that Monday, we flew out to Chandler, Arizona for Q school. Had Q school out there, played pretty well. Don't believe we got guaranteed starts with our finish, but played pretty decent. So I actually, man, started my professional career that year, which was 2019, end of 18, early 19.
So you got your start at TPC Sawgrass, which is a phenomenal course. And now you've been able to caddy with Jared and tour around. What's been the favorite course of yours so far that you've been able to caddy? What's one course you just can't wait to go to, or you've really enjoyed going to?
PGA Tour?
Either one, PGA Tour or Corn Ferry Tour, whichever one. Yeah.
Okay. Honestly, buddy, it would have to be Sea Island. Recently. I've spent a lot of time up there at that course. Both of the courses, I know it like the back of my hand. It's I'm comfortable there. And honestly, I'm a nature freak, so just the walk out there is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I've heard it's amazing. And Jared said the same thing. It was just a beautiful area. And a lot of professional golfers live there, probably for that reason. Yeah. It's a great spot, good weather, good courses. So that's pretty cool. I have to get there and see that someday. So let me ask you this. So you said you know that course like the back of your hand. What is it like as a caddy? Because, you know, the relationship between a player and a caddy, it's critical for you to know your numbers, to know, the angles and whatever else you need to know, and to be really confident about that. What's the difference for you as a caddy being in a course that you're familiar with versus, you know, these courses you're learning for the first time now with Jared on the PGA Tour, courses neither of you have seen before?
I'd say the biggest thing would be prep work. Yes, I still did as much prep work at Sea Island as I would do any other course. Maybe a little less detailed at Sea Island than other courses.
Let's talk about caddy prep. So a lot of people don't know what that actually means. So when you say, you know, prep, what does that entail? What do you do the week before the tournament starts, like the week of when you guys are doing practice rounds, the morning of a tournament round? Talk a little bit about the prep of a caddy.
Well, Korn Ferry compared to the PGA Tour is totally different. Totally different. Korn Ferry, I mean, caddies, I mean, we get a bad rap. Yeah, I understand that. And I understand why, too, because guys, they abuse some of the rules out there and all. But Korn Ferry, you could walk during the pro-ams. You could walk inside the ropes during the pro-ams up on the court. I mean, you used to be able to. Now they've kind of gotten a little more strict in the last couple months. But you used to be able to get all your numbers, everything during pro-am. So you'd have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to do all your work. PGA Tour, you only truly have two practice days to get all your work done. And one of those days, you're playing 18 holes. I mean, I know we are because we haven't seen the courses. So I technically have to get my work done during the course, during we're playing, or finish it up the following day. And that consists of, so yardage books, all the sprinkler heads are numbered. There's a number to the center of the green. So, I mean, all the courses you play back home, all the courses everybody's listened to, all those numbers you see on the sprinkler heads, those are to the center of the green. And I'll look at the yardage book and I'll check all those numbers. I use a lot of Google Earth, measurements, lines, very, very accurate on those. Checking carry numbers over bunkers, getting lines off tee, run out numbers through the fairways, stuff like that. We played a pro at Simpson in Napa, and Paul Tesori is his caddy. Paul Tesori is the neighbor of Jared and I down the road. So he's kind of helped us out a bunch. But I was watching Paul, and he was basically there. It was a dogleg left par five, and there was a big old tree on the right side through the run out. And Paul was basically getting numbers every 5 feet on that line through the fairway. And so Jared and I were just, you know, looking at that, different stuff we wouldn't see. Also, another thing we picked up on is each week we get caddies get pin placements from the years before. So we have all the hole locations from Tuesday through Sunday of every tournament. We'll get that when we get our yardage books every week. But Paul Tesori and Webb, we throw pads down on the greens, their little discs that show where the holes were. And Paul and then Webb were going through each hole. They were talking about each shot to that pin. So that was one thing Jared and I really picked up on and started doing a little bit. That's one thing. Like I said, checking all the numbers in the yardage books. Another thing is seeing your misses on the greens. Where do you want to miss it? Where's the best spot to miss it? Where's the worst spot to miss it? Or where's dead? You know, looking at grain on greens a little bit, seeing how those are reacting during the sunlight, during the cloudy days, if we have any cloudy days. shoot, man. That's in a nutshell.
It's a lot more than people realize that goes into the work. You know, when we see on TV flipping through the books and looking at the numbers, a lot of that information is in there, trying to figure out, trying to remember, like you said, where to miss it, where not to miss it, which holes to go after, which ones to not, those types of things. So it's a lot of work. It goes into it, that's for sure.
A lot of walking.
Yeah, a lot of walking. I'm sure that you're probably putting in, you know, a good, you know, 5-10 miles a day when you're out there. Have you ever tracked it? What's your walking like?
Yeah, man. Most courses average 7 to 8 miles, and that's just walking in the fairways. You know, a couple missed tee shots in the rough, stuff like that. But that's an average golf course, and so you figure 7 miles. I mean, times five. I mean, that's 35 miles. So that's a lot of walking you're doing.
Right. Plus all the prep work, plus the days, you know, the extra days that you're going out early. Do you ever go out before a round just to see where the pins are and kind of get a feel for it? I mean, I know you get the pin sheets, but do you ever go out and walk the course before tournament round?
I do, man. And I usually will walk it before. If we have an afternoon tee time, I will go and walk the entire course before we play. I will see how the fairways are reacting, how the greens are reacting, if they're, you know, if they're soft, if they're bouncing. I also go and shoot the par threes. I'll go stand right beside the tee box. I'll get as close to the markers as I can, and I'll shoot the numbers. So I'll have those numbers for Jared on the range if he wants to practice those, you know, those numbers for the par threes. He could hit a couple shots. Go ahead and have those numbers instilled in his head.
That's really cool, man. It's fun to hear kind of these secrets that most of us probably don't even realize what you guys are doing out there, but just to see the work that goes into it and the information that you have that you provide for Jared. It's just really cool, man. I love it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
All right. So let's talk about something even more fun. And that is you're known for having a pretty strong sock game. You know, for those who haven't been able to go out on tour and see you, you know, the caddies get to wear shorts, which is totally unfair for the players, but you know, kudos to you, you get to wear shorts. And so that means that we get to see the sock game every time that you're out there. So you always go kind of with a mid-high sock, it seems like, and then some really fun patterns. How'd you get into the sock game?
Honestly, I started wearing high socks, shoot, man, when I was 12 years old. I was a skater surfer, so I was always wearing high, like Vulcan band socks, even when I was younger. I've kind of kept wearing them. I'll be 33 in a couple months. So,
you know, it's funny because a lot of times, you know, you see pictures on Twitter and, you know, people are commenting on the socking, you know, Jared Tracker's on there, taking pictures of your socks and, yeah, out there. And people awesome. Love it, man. People love
it. I think it's knowing, so cool.
Yeah. I like knowing what the sock game's all about, but it's always strong, man. It's always strong. How many pairs Thanks. Of fun socks do you think you own?
Whew. There's a few in there, man. There's a few.
Is it an entire drawer? Do you have a whole drawer just for socks? Like maybe a couple drawers? I mean, what's that like?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got two drawers for socks.
Nice.
Well,
nice.
I'm a little ashamed to say that.
No, man, that's crazy. Do you have a favorite
it's like
pair?
Boxers. I do have a favorite pair. I'm a
Are
big
you willing to reveal it.
I am. And they have been revealed a couple times, but they only come out special occasions. I'm a big Grateful Dead fan. I love their music. And my wife, actually, I wore them for our wedding.
Of course you did.
Yeah, they're the Dancing Bears. Grateful Dead socks. So they make an appearance every once in a while. Yeah.
Very cool. So if we see the Grateful Dead socks out on tour, it's a big day. It's a special day.
It is a big day.
Maybe going into the final round with the lead, or, you know, maybe the first time at a major or something like that. Yeah. We're gonna see those babies come out.
You're exactly right, man. You're exactly nice. Right.
That's awesome, man. Love it. Absolutely love it. Well, the sock game is strong. It's kind of your trademark now. So you have to carry that and keep that going. That's really what you're becoming known for out there with Jared. So
like
it's awesome.
It.
All right.
Like
so listen, it. We've got some fan questions. I don't know if you know this or not, but you've got some fans. Of course, the sock game has helped out with that, but you've got some fans. We asked them to share some questions with us that they would like to have you answer. So I'm just going to knock through some of these questions and you take them and run with them. So first one is from Jason Scott. Is he a caddy out on the Corn Ferry Tour?
Jason Scott is a caddy, man. Yep. He's a Corn Ferry caddy.
Sure. All right. So here's what Jason wants to know. He said, can I steal the mid-length sock look now that you're on the PGA and I'm on the Corn Ferry Tour? Wants to keep the look going.
Ooh, Jason. Yeah, buddy. You could, actually, we could share it. We could share it. I'm all about sharing. Anybody could take the sock style.
Nice. We're gonna have to have Jason get a picture of his sock game out on the Corn Ferry Tour when it starts in January, and we'll get a sock game hashtag going on Twitter and see who's got the best sock game out there. So that'll be great.
Anybody who rocks high socks is cool with me.
That's right. It's a friend of yours. That's right. So Jason, you got permission to go ahead and rock it, but make sure you take some pictures and send them to us and tag us in there. That'd be great.
All right.
So this one here is from Jarrett. Yeah, he actually asked a question. He wants to know, what is the most embarrassing thing you have done on a golf course in a tournament? Most embarrassing thing you or he has done on a golf course in a tournament.
Now, does this include while playing?
Like, I don't know. It's pretty vague. It's pretty open. So I think you can go with whatever here on this one.
All right. So yeah, I mean, this is embarrassing, and he would say it too. But I mean, we cracked up after the round. I mean, that's all you could do about it. But so every year we played the BMW Championship, and he knows exactly what I'm talking about. The BMW Championship in Greer, South Carolina. We were at Thornblade, which is a course. It's about 40 minutes away from Greer. So it was a little hike. It's in the mountains. It's beautiful. But on the 11th hole, there's a par three. Okay. It's a little elevated tee shot over to the right, about 100 and I'd say it's about 140 yards, 30 yards from the tee box is a practice chipping green. Okay. Now that chipping green is about a 45 degree angle from the tee box. Okay. The BMW Championship, we play with a celebrity, and we had Jose Alvarez for the second year in a row. First year they won it, which was pretty cool. The celebrity division. Second year, Jose joined us again, but back to that shot, Jared We got our number. It was playing like one, I believe it was like 142, 143. It wasn't a far shot at all. He looked like he was comfortable. It's good to go. And next thing you know, he hosled rocketed it.
Straight hosled. Over,
straight hosled.
Shank biscuit.
Shanked it. Over to the chipping green. Had to get a rules official, get a drop, all that. So that was pretty embarrassing, because as soon as that happened, and I mean, these guys are so good. That doesn't happen too much. And when it does, I mean, it does happen. Don't get me wrong. But when it does, it's like, oh, all right.
Right. What happened there? That
wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah, exactly. And Jose, as soon as it happened, Jose looked straight at me and didn't know what to say. So it's kind of funny.
Right. I mean, what do you do, right? I mean, you can't laugh at it.
What do you do?
I mean, you're like, yeah, it's maybe you laugh later at the bar. But yeah, that's pretty funny.
Exactly.
So does that also count for the funniest memory on the course? Because he actually has two questions. Does that kind of count for both, embarrassing and funny?
The most funny, I won't get into too many details. There has been some bodily functions, some bad happenings on the course, and
just to where, not downwind.
Exactly, to where some players have had to wait on the tee box for the player to show up. But we'll leave it to that.
That's pretty funny. Man, I mean, those things happen, right? Yeah, you don't think about it, but those things have to happen. You know,
yes, it does.
I can imagine, you know, some guy farts on a backswing or something. Just, you know, those kind of things have got to happen. Oh, yeah. That's hilarious.
Got to be really prepared.
Good. All right, next question real quick. So this is also from Jared. Then we're going to get to a few more fan questions. So Jared also asked, how many times around does Jared question the compass? You guys use a compass, Lord, to gauge the wind. How many times around does he question that?
Shoot, man. At least 33 times.
I was thinking like a 2-to-1 ratio, but that's kind of a 1-to-1 on full swings, pretty much.
Oh, so, buddy. Well, it's tough. I mean, when we know it's doing one thing, say it's northeast all day, but it's into off the right, but he's feeling it down. Of course he's going to question it. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, hey, Jared, trust it. It's been doing this all day long. You got to trust it. So that's every time
swirling, he questions like that.
Yeah. Every time he questions it, I'm like, dude, just trust it. Yeah, you're all right. Yeah. Just trust it. Yeah.
It's awesome. All right. So some more fan questions. So this is from Jeff Earhart, and Jeff asks, what is Jared's favorite distance into a green?
Ooh, that's a good one. Par fives, par fours, depending on, so layup shots, approach.
Let's just go with just one shot that, you know, if you get that number, you know, he's jazzed. He's excited.
I'd say anything from 100 to a buck 20. He's money.
Yeah. Yeah, which he had a lot of those when you guys were in Vegas at the Monday qualifier.
Yeah.
Like four or five of those that were the exact same. And that was a pretty fun story he told in there as well. Jeff Earhart has one more question. He says, what is the process? I took a little offense at this because you and I talked about this before. But he says, what is the process to be an alternate caddy if you need paid time off? And I responded, Jeff, I said the caddy bench runs pretty deep. The depth chart goes pretty deep right now. There's a lot of people in line. But, you know, I guess we all missed our opportunity in Houston. That's like the first time I haven't seen you in the bag.
I know, man. I actually got to make it to an ultrasound appointment back here because I knew I wouldn't be around too much. Jared let me stay back for that. And logistically, things. So I did Q school that week, and Jared did the Monday. Didn't get through the Monday. Obviously, he called me like 20 minutes before he teed off. It's like, hey, man, I'm going to leave it up to you. No worries if you don't come, such and such like that. So I ended up staying back. Praise the Lord. We had a great buddy there, a mutual friend by the name of Nathan, who actually works for Mark Long, who makes the yardage books. So
yeah, Nathan, yeah, I got to meet Nathan. He's a good dude.
Yeah, Nathan's a great dude. And I don't know if you know this, but Nathan caddied for Stanger for about a year also.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't know if we might have mentioned it, but I may have forgotten about that. No, I didn't know that. Very cool.
Yep, he sure did. So,
and Jimmy Stanger, I just had him on our Bathrooms and Bunkers podcast. So that's going to be coming out here in about a month or so. So we got a nice little circle of life there with all these people. So
nice. That's very cool. You got some good people, man.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're going to be missing many tournaments, but if you are, I mean, I think we know who gets the first call.
You'll
Let's just leave it at
first.
That.
You'll
that's
be
right.
First we got on the list.
That I appreciate. I've moved up on the depth chart. All right. Okay. So let's move on. So Tyler Brockman has, he's asking, do you have a certain rotation for your SOC game or do you just go with what feels right for each week?
Ooh, that all depends on the morning, honestly. So I'll wake up, I have my little devotion, my morning devotion, and then this is going to sound bad, but I'll turn on a little classic rock, a little Southern rock, real big into the Allman Brothers. So I'm playing some Allman Brothers, you know, usually I'm going to come out with some, you know, duller colors, maybe not too vibrant. Now, if I'm playing a little Dead in the morning, that's going to be a little more vibrant, maybe a little crazier patterns and stuff like that.
So it's really the music's just influencing what's coming out on the SOC game that day.
Always.
Love it. Always. Love it. That's awesome. Yeah. So good to know. And if we want the colors to be bright, you know, then it's really just hard rock, like just some really good stuff. I like it.
Exactly. Nah, maybe not so much hard rock, just like bluesy.
Classic rock.
Bluesy.
Yeah. Bluesy. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Very there good. We go. Okay. There we go.
You like folk music? Are you into folk?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Big love folk. Very cool. Okay. I got a series of questions that come from Jared Wolf Tracker, the guy who's tracking when he's out there on the course. So cool. Here's a couple. So first of all, do you and Jared have a special handshake?
We don't have a special handshake. We do a little something before we tee off on the first tee. We always try to do a little fist bump and I'll look at him and make sure I say, let's have fun. So, you know, regardless of if he's in a good mood that day or bad mood, I mean, most of the time he's in a great mood, but
yeah, it's hard to find Jared not having a good time. He doesn't take himself
exactly
usually. So a little first tee tradition, a little fist bump and let's have fun today. It's cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever, so I know that caddies and this is a great question. I know that caddies and players debate sometimes about what club to hit in certain situations, you know, and that kind of thing. Have you ever handed Jared the wrong club on purpose after a debate over club selection?
No, I haven't done it on purpose, man. I haven't done that. And I'll be honest with you. He and I, we talk about every shot. I don't know if you know this, but he'll walk off yardage and I'll walk off yardage also. And we both double check it to make sure we have, you know, the right number and everything. So we know which club we're going to pull. We're both on agreement. So at the end of the day, I mean, if he hits a bad shot, you know, it's on him.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Beth Salyer. Beth, I hope I got your last name right. Beth asks, do you have a pair of socks that you wear for good luck? We've already talked about your favorite pair. Do you have some others that are just kind of like, you know, you're superstitious? You have any that are just good luck socks?
Ooh, my jailbird socks. Yeah. They look like zebra socks. My wife calls them jailbird socks. She doesn't like them, but I think they're so.
As long as you don't wear like orange pants and orange shirt that day, I think we're okay. I think we're
exactly
good.
Get away with them. You're exactly right. No, but they're cool, man. They're different. They're trippy looking. So I think they're cool.
Nice. Nice. Beth has two more questions. So here's her second question. What is the best shot you have seen Jared hit?
Ooh, that's a great question. So before Sea Island, it would have been a 2-iron up at TPC San Antonio a couple of years ago. Front was like 260 something. Pin was like 278. It was like back left up on a ledge. Jared just hit this beautiful little stinger draw. I mean, stinger fade. And it just ran right up there to about 15 feet. One of the prettiest 2-iron shots I have ever seen him hit.
Isn't that amazing how you can like remember it, like just like it happened yesterday. Just visualize
Yeah. Those types of shots, they stick out in your mind. Especially Sea Island. This just happened a week or two ago. 12 par 3, was playing like 230 that day into a 30-mile-an-hour breeze. Playing like 255, 260. Hit a 5-wood. That sucker made a hole in one.
That was so awesome. That was actually, it wasn't on video, but the reaction was on video, him walking up to it. And that was during a practice round. But yeah, that had to be an awesome shot to witness. I'm thinking to myself, 230 into the wind, that's a driver for me. And I'm still going to be, it's crazy how they can manage those and then make a hole in one. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. It was pretty cool.
All right. Last question from Beth is, what is the best part of being a caddy? Beth's got some great questions, by the way, probably the best question provider that we have. So she says, what is the best part of being a caddy?
Best part about being a caddy to me, I'm inside the ropes chasing my dream with somebody else that is chasing their dream and is allowing me to chase my dream with them. I think that is pretty freaking cool. I get to meet all different walks of life. I love meeting people. I love figuring out who they are, stuff like that. So I think that's a big thing. And I'm meeting new people every week out here. So,
yeah, that's awesome. I'll tell you what I love about that. None of that has to do with golf.
Exactly.
The best parts of caddying aren't about the golf. It's actually about chasing your dream, meeting people. And obviously, you know, Jared's lucky to have you on the bag. You guys are a really great team.
So let me backtrack. I'd say, it's not about golf, but it's not about the money, honestly.
Well, you haven't made any yet.
Exactly.
Caddies on the Korn Ferry Tour don't really make a lot of money, but of course you get somebody on the PGA Tour who does well, you can certainly do well. But yeah, I mean, it's not about that, you know, it's about the experiences. And clearly you love being out there. You and Jared love being together. It's clear to see.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Okay. Last question. This comes from Kyle Lewis. Kyle asks, what is the process of getting Jared's mind right after a bad hole? Which, you know, as you and I know, this is a critical part of being a caddy, is really knowing your player. So how do you guys manage that?
Humor. You got to know when to do it, when not to do it. I mean, if he's walking off the green heated, you don't really want to say anything at the time. Wait about 15, 20 seconds, let him chill out, then say something. But he and I, we're just lively people. So it's not like him to be down on himself. And when I see him like that, be honest with you, I'll say something to him. I'm not afraid to say something to him. It's got to be in the right time, the right time frame. But I'm not afraid to say something kind to pull him out of that little funk that he may be in at that time. We've had a couple tussles out there. And I mean, that's what I think any good player caddy relationship is going to have, but at the end of the day, those little tussles that he and I have had, we talk about them and we say we're sorry. Hey man, I misunderstood you. Oh buddy, it's all right. Just stuff like that. So
yeah, well, I mean, it's a pleasure to watch you guys work. I've had the privilege of, you know, seeing you guys play at maybe 15 tournaments or so so far, dating all the way back to 2018 on the Korn Ferry Tour when we first met, just getting to watch you guys work together. And it's just obvious that you guys, you know, enjoy being together. You're pulling for each other. You know, I know that Jared cares about you reaching your goals and chasing your dreams as much as you do him. And so it's just neat to see out there to watch you guys work.
That's right, man.
That's right. Awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
All right. So last question, and then we're going to call. This one's from me. So question is, what advice do you have for people when they come out to watch you guys on tour? What do they need to know? What do they need to, should they come up and say hi? I mean, tell a little bit about how you guys feel about fans coming to events.
Okay. Yeah. We love people to come and hang out and say hey to us. There's just certain times, fans should not, we primarily in the morning, if we have a morning tea time, Jared's always going to say, if you say hey to him, he's always going to say hey to you. Jared's that just that type of person. He's not going to shoo you away or anything like that. That's not him. Usually though, in the morning times when we're warming up on the putting greens, he's kind of locked in, focusing in on the range. He's a little more quiet on the range. Really trying to dial in, see what types of shots he's hitting that day. Fans will try to say something. He'll say hey to him at that time. I mean, honestly, buddy, Jared's the type of player where, I mean, he'll walk side the rope with you and have a conversation. I mean, he's the people's pro, honestly.
Dude, that's the truth. I got to tell you, you weren't in Houston. I was walking by him after he came off of 17 green and he had just missed a birdie putt and it was clear that he wasn't going to make the cut. At that point, this was on Friday. He walks by me heading to the tee. He's probably 20 feet from the tee. He walks right past me and he goes, "Watch this one." And so he could just tell that he was, you know, he had nothing to lose. He was getting into it. I think I've ever swung as hard as he swung on that one. And he hit it about 30 yards past his playing partners. And I'm like, he just needs to say that more often. Just every tee go that's up right. and say, like, "Watch this one." And it was funny. But that's the kind of guy that he is for sure. So
yeah, that's really cool. I actually got a phone call from, this is the first time he's ever done this, and I cracked up. But I got a phone call from him in the middle of the Monday qualifier in Mayakoba. He wasn't playing too good. He called me up just to chit chat, tell me, "Hey man, don't come down here, not playing too good." And then ended up telling me his caddy tried cheating for him down there. So that little essay tried cheating for him. So that was kind of funny.
Oh, I'll have to ask him about that one later on. Yeah. But no, it's exciting for you guys. I know you got a little break here, so enjoy the holidays. Especially this right. time with your wife, as you guys are, you know, preparing to be a family of three soon. And we're excited to see you get back out there in January and play some good golf. So thanks so much for being on the podcast, man. It's great to talk to you.
Awesome, buddy. Thank you so much for having me, Trey. This has been a blast, dude.
Yeah. Talk soon, buddy.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Full Send Podcast, an inside look at Jared Wolff's journey on the PGA Tour. If you enjoy this episode, be sure to give us a like and leave a comment. That will help others find us easier. And until next time, hit them long and hit them straight. We'll see you soon.